Hello and welcome. This is Colleen O'Grady, the host of the Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. This is a gathering place for moms to be encouraged, nurtured, and inspired. Also, you'll learn the latest in teen research and trends and get practical parenting tips. You really can improve your relationship with your teen and enjoy the teenage years. Welcome back, everybody. This is probably the 19th episode of the Power Your Parenting Moms with Teen podcast. And I'm so excited that I have a guest today. She actually has been on my podcast before. This is Neha Gupta. She's the founder of Elite Private Tutors, the author of The 4-Year Plan, and contributing author at Chicken Soup for the Soul. Neha has helped over thousands of moms by making their life easier every single day. She delivers convenience, motivation, focus, and elite tutors to people's homes to help students get the results they need in school when it comes to academics, test prep, and most of all, college essays. She has been featured on the front page of the Houston Chronicle and the Washington Post and Parents Magazine. So that's pretty impressive, Neha. And she is here to give us tips and tricks on surviving the month of May with our overwhelmed, stressed out teens with finals and how to handle the next 4 weeks without frustration and anger with our children. So I have been doing my Dial Down the Drama series, which comes from my recently published book, Dial Down the Drama, Reducing Conflict and Reconnecting with Your Teenage Daughter, A Guide for Mothers Everywhere. But this is so important because May can be extremely stressful for moms and teens. And so Neha's going to give us some wonderful tips on, you know, actually not only just to survive the month, but how to really thrive and how to set your teen up for success. So welcome, Neha.
Thanks so much, Colleen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. One thing I notice when I'm working with moms is this is like an extremely stressful month. And actually, I mean, I work with teens too in my private practice. And the teens are stressed. The moms are stressed. Moms complain that their kids are procrastinating. They're worried about their grades. The teens are worried about their grades and about finals. And so I think well-meaning moms can actually make things worse. And they don't really know, sometimes they don't even know what to do to help their teens. So maybe what would be helpful just for moms is to get in the head of a teenage boy or girl. Like, how do they think? So in your work with the kids, what do they need to be motivated? And, you know, so what really motivates a teen? And like, what's the inner working of a teenager when it comes to finals? What do you notice?
So what I would say is, you know, the typical teenager is not even thinking about finals yet. It's April 28th, and technically in 20 school days, they will have to be sitting down for a cumulative exam of over 8 months of material. Now, something you have actually said in your book and in your speeches is that one of the major reasons why there is such a, probably the best word would be, divide between moms and teens is because a typical teenager's brain is still developing.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. You know, so this whole thought about why do they procrastinate, it's almost like asking somebody a question about their instincts. A teenager's instinct is not technically to plan ahead.
Yeah.
If you're working with the top 5% of a grade, yes, they understand the study skills. They get it. But when you're talking about the average teenager, their view on life is completely different than their mom's.
Right.
So they're not walking around with their planner waiting for the teacher to tell them what their next homework assignment is. That's
yeah.
not something that excites them. They don't have a sense of what time management is.
And
what happens is, you know, we have these expectations in a way for teenagers because they're talking like us. They have more information than they've ever had before. They carry themselves differently. And because of that, we expect them to have a certain level of emotional intelligence and this capability to plan ahead, when in reality, instinctually, they do not have that built into them.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I think a lot of moms know that, or have heard that the prefrontal cortex is undeveloped until the age of 25, but they don't understand that one of the major functions of the prefrontal cortex is for seeing long-term consequences and the ability to plan ahead. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, exactly. It's that expectation that I think causes the month of May to feel like survival versus thriving.
Yeah, yeah. So what does motivate a teen to study?
So one of the things I try to explain to parents is we're growing up in a world where parents are letting their teens rule the house in the sense that we're letting teens decide when they need to study. We're letting teens decide when they think they need a tutor, when the grades have already plummeted numerous times. And what the major issue here is that there are times where the mom has to step in as the parent and not the friend.
Yeah.
Finals is actually why everyone fights, because it is the time for a parent to kind of throw down the gauntlet and say, look, you've made an 80 or below on the last two tests. It's clear you're missing concepts. I don't really feel like learning chemistry for you again to try to teach this to you. We're going to be bringing a great tutor in to help you with this. And even if the child is resistant, you know, typically if you ask a teenager, an average teenager, if they want to study on a Saturday, a Sunday, or any time over being on Snapchat or watching cat videos on YouTube, they're going to say no.
Right.
If you booked that hour where they could go eat ice cream for that full hour, they'd probably say yes. So understanding that about your teen, that, you know what, yeah, there's probably going to be some resistance, and that's okay. That's totally fine if they resist. But in reality, what I've seen is that if parents, or moms at least, would step in at the right point and be there before that stress point happens, and really take a little more involvement in the academic career of their child, there can be a feeling of more symbiosis. There can be a feeling of being on the same team. There can be a feeling of the teen having a mentor outside of their mom. And so I would say, you know, and I've always grown up believing that you're only as good as your mentor, your coach, you know, someone that you talk to that you're very close with. And they get you farther than you ever potentially saw yourself.
Yeah.
So that's kind of when you ask me about motivation, a lot of times it's like if a mom was trying to lose 30 pounds but read a bunch of blogs to try to learn it and didn't create a plan of action, a structured plan that was set in their schedule to put time away for themselves to make their meals or get it from Snap Kitchen, to work out and make that workout a priority. You're really setting yourself up for failure. And it's the only analogy I can use to really explain what it's like to be a teenager who has no plan of action, doesn't know where their planner is, their backpack is full of papers that are crumbled at the bottom, and yet we're expecting them to succeed, but we're too scared to take ownership and say, okay, we've got a problem here, and I can find a solution for you.
Right. Yeah, what I'm hearing loud and clear, and I totally agree with it, is it's almost twofold. One is, if parents could see that their teen's lack of planning and apparent lack of motivation is almost like age appropriate instead of personal.
Right.
You know, and then that would just, because I think it's so easy for moms, especially because because we're on top of it in some ways, because we're noticing everything. We're noticing that they're blowing stuff off, and we take it personally. It's like, what are you doing?
Of course. I mean, women, I mean, if you listen to Alison Armstrong's work, you know, I was just listening 2 weeks ago about understanding women, just because I work with so many. And one of the things she says is that women grow up, and the way they have an experience in the world is that everything is through diffused awareness. So for moms, all day long, things are talking to them. Like, oh, that shoe's out of place. I guess we need to organize that. Oh, there's dirty clothes on the floor. I need to handle that. Oh, there's dishes in the sink. Oh, I need to handle that. Oh, I totally forgot to call my mother-in-law. It's as if everything is constantly talking to us. And so when our teenager is constantly slipping and slipping, it's very easy to take it personally.
Oh, yeah. And another thing that you're saying, and I completely agree, is that and I've heard one psychologist say that because the teen's prefrontal cortex is undeveloped, sometimes we have to step in and be their prefrontal cortex.
Yes.
Because we see that they're falling behind. We know what they're not doing. And so what I hear you say, and I agree, is mom at that point, instead of just getting mad at her kid, helps the kid get a plan. And sometimes that plan is just the mom helping the teen get structured. And then Sometimes, unless it's that 5% really motivated teen, and I have seen those.
I've seen those too, but they don't need us. And that's exciting.
Yeah, but mostly they do need us.
Yes.
And then there's sometimes that it's, the teen just will not even listen to the mom. And then that's really good time to think about building a team.
Right. And also just the fact that the teen is sometimes incapable of admitting failure. I was one of those teens, you know, and it's a hard story. But for me, when I brought a 96 home, my parents would ask where the other 4 points were. So anytime I had a drop in the grades, I was extremely hungry and driven, obviously, in school. I would spend my lunch. I would spend my every extra minute I had. I would email the teacher. I would try to find every way to talk and learn and do it on my own, almost to a point of painful, to get that grade up so that my parents never found out that my grades were dropping. Now, keep in mind, this was back in the day when we didn't have electronic progress reports. Now it is impossible for a teenager to hide their grades.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yes. So one thing I've noticed, and I'm wondering what you have to say about it, is I have seen probably more lately than I have ever, is that teens are super, super stressed out. So this sounds like a little bit of a paradox, but they're stressed. They know what their grades are, and they know how they compare their other friends, and they know that they're supposed to make good grades, but sometimes they feel so overwhelmed that that's the reason they're on the sofa, because it's like procrastination is another sign of really being stressed or anxiety. Have you seen that?
Absolutely. So if you step into a teenager's mind, which I do very often, I interact with teenagers, and sometimes I'll have moms sitting somewhere else and listening, and they see their teenager light up and they're animated, and they're like, how did this person who doesn't know my daughter in 30 minutes get her to be the child I always knew she was? And what happens is procrastination and the stress that they're feeling, that overwhelm, it is because they don't have a plan of action.
Yeah.
And once they dig a big enough hole, like once they're in C's or D's in their classes, or they are slacking behind an extracurricular, or their SAT is on June 4th, you know, I could keep going, and I'll build overwhelm in actually every listener. You've got college essays coming up. Applications are due in October. You have finals due end of May 27th. So if you start to stack this as a mom when you're speaking to your child, you're causing this level of stress when you're trying to say, hey, these are all the things you've got to look forward to we got to get this done. You can't be sitting on the couch watching TV.
Right, right.
Right. But the problem is the relief a student can feel from doing nothing sometimes is important. Now, at the same time, I would say that procrastination is definitely a sign of stress. There's a reason why students start to freeze. In a way, they're almost in paralysis where they get paralyzed and they don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah. No, I really like what you're saying, and I think that's absolutely true, is, and I've seen that with the kids that I've been working with, is when I can break it down into doable bites, then they can, they don't know where to even get started. It
right.
Just,
yeah. I mean, like I tell, it's so funny. I was talking to a student literally this Saturday, and I normally don't take appointments on Saturday, but I said, look, I've actually boiled down the entire college application in 5 days. We could literally start from what your list of schools is, and by Friday we have all your essays and resume done.
Wow. That would be helpful.
Yeah, and I do that now globally. So it's fascinating to see that they just sometimes need a mentor or a coach or really it's an adult or someone slightly above who's already been there, done that, that can say, this is what you do, and let's take a breather. Let's relax, because we can either shove our way through May, which is what I keep seeing over and over, and I see breakdowns, I see crying, I get moms that cry on the phone, there's a lot of stress, or we can just actually enjoy the month, know it's going to play out the way it's going to play out, and put some systems in place.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. So you've been talking about, you know, some of the things that moms can do that could be really helpful, which is helping come up with a plan and helping them know where to start. What are some things, other things that are helpful? What are some things that are not helpful? And I have some ideas what's not helpful too.
Absolutely. So I'll give some of the trade secrets of working with thousands of moms and the moms that I've seen that have been extremely successful during this month and what they do. So one of the first things that I've seen is when moms take, and you can get these at Office Depot, and I know this is a little old school, but there are these massive size calendars that people used to put on their desks.
Yeah.
Okay. So if a mom buys one of those, and, or, you know, if they don't feel like buying that, you can print out a calendar off of, you know, Word, or Google Calendar, however you want to do it. But they have a calendar and they break out and know exactly what their child's schedule is. They can now say, okay, let's put in all your tests and quizzes into here. And most of the time, these online portals of the schools give you this information. So you know when the next test and quizzes, you know any sports or activities. And in that schedule, after they're done with school, actually, if you break it down and say, this is the amount of hours you have to study, this is what we do with our students.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if from you get home at 4 p.m., you take a break, 4:30, let's get into it. And they set up a certain area where the child can study outside of their classroom. I mean, out of their bedroom.
Yeah.
That would be huge. So that's number one is sitting down and making it a team experience versus a judgmental experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Now, sometimes if you're already what I would call in the doghouse, which can happen with the teen where they put you in the doghouse, so anything you say is the enemy, you've got to come from a place of heart-centeredness. Now, this can be a very humbling experience for a mom because if everyone is in the box, and what I mean by box, if you come from the mindset and perspective of I deserve this or I am better than you, the message doesn't come across ever.
Right, right. Yeah.
So that can be, that's what I mean by heart-centered means, you know, and I remember times where, I remember these few moments with my mom where she would take me, for example, to lunch randomly on a Saturday, and we just talked about nothing related to school.
Right.
And she got on my good side. To be honest, she, you know, I don't think it was intentional or conniving or manipulative. She actually just wanted to enjoy me for who I am, and I just got to talk my head off about what was happening in my world. But at first it was highly awkward for the first 15 minutes.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. And when I'm speaking to moms and or I see them in my private practice, what I talk about is you do not want to have a one-facet relationship with your daughter. And a lot of moms get stuck being what I call the eternal monitor. You're the 24/7 monitor with your daughter.
Yes.
And if that's all it is, it's going to be really, really stressful. And it's going to be really stressful in May because there's a lot to monitor.
Yeah.
So I tell the moms is you got to take breaks from that.
Yes. And it's, you know, I just wrote in a Google Calendar for three people to coordinate schedules. So I know how hard it is for moms. But if you schedule in downtime, like, and I'm talking about like it could be to the teenager, it could feel spontaneous. But if you're a planner like I am, you schedule in that fun. So you could say something like, hey, you know what? Let's go to ice cream.
Right. Oh, yeah. And yeah. So I really believe that you can have good experiences with your daughter every single day, even in the month of May, especially when you have your strategy in place. So that's why I really wanted to have Neha on here, because when you have that and that's in place, then you have that time to have those breaks with your daughter.
Yes. And you get to enjoy them instead of trying to scream at them to get the homework done, or asking why are you not understanding the concepts, or why have you not asked for more help, or why haven't you gone to school, you know. So it can get very combative, and that would be, you know, you'd asked me earlier what is not helpful. That's not helpful because it creates more distance, and when you do it over and over, the teenager doesn't want, your child is not going to look at you as a liaison. And a lot of times that's where I get the call, because that eternal monitor, now you can blare as loud as you want. You can try a lot of different tactics, but if you've gotten to that point of your last resort,
yeah,
you need to start looking somewhere, because that's when the month of May will feel like survival versus thriving. And so that's why I say, you know, the most helpful tips are getting on the same page, having spontaneous fun, which can be scheduled. Most students I've seen never study on a Friday after 8 p.m. and they don't study Saturday up until 1 p.m. So if you're going to allow sleepovers, which I don't recommend for the month of May, that is your prime time.
Yeah. 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 And one thing I've seen is I've seen parents get really tangled up in what I would say the minor issues. Like, I do agree with you, it's not a great thing that they study in their room, but I've had moms like get really like, you need to study here and you need to study this way. And so that becomes kind of the battle. And what you're saying with the heart centered, and I completely agree with it, is the tension is the kid can feel like, because of them living in the reactive part of their brain, that you think they're stupid because they interpret things in a real black and white way. So I've had teens say, Mom, oh my God, you want me to be perfect? You think I'm stupid? You don't think so? They feel a lot of judgment from moms, and they're,
yes,
and they're not feeling the encouragement. So I think sometimes even talking about a bigger picture thing is like, you know, I know it's hard. I know this is like, I don't know how I would do even taking finals right now. And it's a lot more stressful for you now than ever. And I know, and sometimes I just own it, you know, I owned it with my own daughter. You know, I can probably be annoying, but let me just tell you that what I really want is I really want you to feel good, you know, about how you've done and that you put your best into it. And I want to support you any way I can. And they sense, like you said,
Colleen, for anyone that's listening to this, whatever Colleen just said, write it down. And that is the script. I'm not kidding. That is the script that needs to be used with parents.
Yes.
I mean, with students, because that is like exactly what I try to tell my moms to do as well.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, it is.
And because if you can own it, that's the key part. You know, we're not all perfect. And I'll be honest, Colleen, my own relationship with my own mom wasn't exactly the best when I was a teenager. And even now, we still get in arguments. I'm an adult now, so I know when I need to apologize for my behavior. But as a teenager, I was in total reactive mode. And I think that's where when she would just let go of the monitor and just talk to me about random things that are unrelated, it could be about the fact that people lost their lives or the fact that people lost their things. And maybe she comes into my room. You could go into your child's room and say, hey, you know what? Is there one thing that we could give to somebody that's lost all of their things?
Yeah, that's great.
Shift the mindset, shift the perspective. And it's a small task. It's a small thing, but it shows why we should be grateful.
Yeah. The crazy thing that I noticed with my daughter, and it will work with your daughters or sons, is when you admit that you're annoying, believe me, they know you're being annoying. So when they laugh because it's like, and they get over it quicker. It's like they can let it go when you name it.
Yes. Yes. And I've learned that a lot, even in my own communication, where, you know, I'll say, you know what, this is my fear talking. I can feel it. It's causing tension in my body. I'm feeling fear and I'm scared. And this is what it feels like. But really, I'm scared because I love you. And I'm stressed because I love you.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. So there's one thing I want to talk about that's kind of under the surface, but it causes lots of drama. And see, the mother and daughter are so identified and so close. And I'm going to speak from a mom's perspective. It's really easy to kind of get your identity by how well your daughter's performing. And so you kind of grade yourself as a mother. Like if my daughter is, you know, if she's got good steady habits, she's making good grades, then I get an A as a job. I mean, I get an A as a mom. And if they're not, then you can feel, you know, you feel like you're not doing well as a mom. And then you feel like a failure. And then you can kind of go into this, like what I call mother shame and guilt. You feel like, I didn't do something right. She hates me. What have I done? Why isn't she doing better? I've really failed. And what I want to tell the moms out there, and also in my book, I talk about, it doesn't have to be all on your shoulders. It really does take a village to raise a teenager. Yes. And so bringing someone in and help and organize your teen, I know that saved my neck many times with my own daughter, can be really, really helpful. And you don't have to feel guilty if you need help.
Can you say that line again, Colleen?
Okay, yeah. So moms, you don't have to feel guilty if you need help. And it's the same for your daughter. Your daughter's feeling the same thing. She's feeling guilty or feeling bad that she needs help. And actually, I can tell you now, I have invested a kajillion dollars in my own life on coaches. And that's the reason why I've been able to write a book and help more and more people. We all need help.
Absolutely. And, you know, going back to the whole concept of coaching here, we can't expect our students to come out of the womb being able to make solid A's in chemistry and physics. It's impossible to expect a student to be at the top for every subject without knowing all the skills or getting help, whether it's from the teacher at school, whether it's a tutor, whether it's their dad who's an engineer, whether it's the mom who's great at English. I mean, it takes a village to raise a child. And that guilt can be so thick, and it's very hard to cut through, especially when you're trying to be the solution. But I think that is it. You nailed it on the head. It's that feeling of guilt that makes it difficult to admit or want to say that, you know, we need help. And if you look back at Asian cultures, tutoring and having what they called a master who comes into the house after school is considered normal. The moms would have a break from after the child gets home from school, and they'd have a specific dedicated coach who did homework with them, who retaught the stuff, who would teach ahead, who would make it exciting, and then the family would come together and have dinner, and then that was the evening. So there's so many other cultures outside of the American culture where they have this. Japan was the country that started Kumon because it's a very normal cultural thing to have a studying house for children after school. So wow. I think it's important to note, you know, and also look at other cultures as examples, because where are we seeing the most stress? It's in America, and it's with American teens.
I really like that you bring in kind of a worldview with that. That's really, really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, now that I have been working with clients globally and seeing the differences from students in Switzerland versus Japan versus, you know, Budapest and Hungary, I mean, it's fascinating to see the differences in even the energy of the mom on a phone call from Europe versus a mom from America versus a mom in Japan. Wow. So, you know, it's important to think, you know, we're all moms regardless of what country we live in.
Right. Yeah, right. So so this is like flown by. So I have, and you might have already answered this, so you might just want to just, you know, whatever you have is, so what's your golden nugget? What's your best advice for moms?
So my best advice for moms for the month of May is make sure you have your own self-care routine in place, and it's non-negotiable. That's number one.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
Yes, because if you let that go, everything else falls. And that could be as small as booking in a massage for yourself, or maybe it's putting oil on your own body after a shower and letting yourself soak, even if it's a budget issue. I mean, I'm talking about whatever that self-care routine is, don't let it go. The second thing I would say is get a calendar, sit down with your teenager and have a heart-centered conversation and get them organized now. Because if we don't start now, it just goes into cramming mode in the next week.
Good point.
So those would be my tips for the mom as well as for the mom with the teen.
Yeah, no, that's great. So how can these moms who maybe need a little bit more help, how can they contact you? What do you have that you could offer them?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, everyone that's listening on this podcast, I would love to offer a free 15-minute consultation. You know, any questions that you have, if you need help with the plan of action, I'm absolutely willing to do that personally for you for the month of May and moving forward if someone listens to this later on, because I've realized that with all of my experience, I can in 15 minutes tell you exactly what would help bring some relief and reduce that overwhelm. We do offer tutoring, obviously, where we come into the house or we do it through Skype all over the world, which is very exciting. It's a huge change since the last time I was on the show.
Wow.
And we're now helping students from age 3 through college, as well as all SAT, ACT, and any test prep needed. And I've also launched collegeshortcuts.com, which is now for college applications and college essays. And it's a 3-week group program that is directed directly by me. And then, of course, I still offer my one-on-one consulting when parents are like, I don't want to touch this with the 10-foot pole, Neha. You come in and I need you for 5 days and we're doing the whole college process. So I am that extra, you know, team member that comes in, that village member that walks in that really helps to bring relief. And they can contact me at, I have got my email address at Neha, which is N-E-H-A, at eliteprivatetutors.com. And they can also reach my work line at 713-401-2867 for that free 15-minute consultation that I'm willing to give them to get that strategy in place.
Wow, that is really, really generous. And so I would say moms take her up on that. And she's telling the truth. She could really help redirect things really quickly. So don't miss that opportunity. And Neha, I just want to thank you again for this call and for giving us your time, and love that you're making a difference not only in Houston, Texas, but around the whole world.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Colleen. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a good day.
You too.
You've been listening to Power Your Parenting Moms with Teen podcast. Be sure and go to ColleenO'Grady.com for more helpful resources. You can also get a free chapter from my book, Dial Down the Drama, or join me on Facebook at Colleen O'Grady Power Your Parenting. I'm there every single day. If today's podcast was helpful, go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, and you can order my book, Dial Down the Drama, Reducing Conflict and Reconnecting with Your Teenage Daughter. I will talk to you next week.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.